Welcome to the You Can Tell the Children podcast, a place where sharing God's word with the next generation in your circle of influence can be simple, easy, and fun. We know that intentionally teaching children about God and the relevancy of his word will be a game changer in their homes, schools, and communities. This podcast is a ministry of Bible to School, experts in engaging children with the word of God. Together, we will make sure that you can tell the children about the love of Jesus. Ready, set, let's go. Welcome back to the You Can Tell the Children podcast, a ministry of Bible to School. I'm your host, Meredith Steidler, and this is episode 140. Do you ever feel that life is more challenging than it used to be and wonder why? Our guest, Brenda Yoder, offers some age-old wisdom to help bring us back to the basics of an uncomplicated life. Doesn't that sound good? Following the COVID-19 pandemic, Brenda noticed how God used the many threads of her home, her career, and Airbnb to weave together the pages of a book she recently published called Uncomplicated: Simple Secrets for a Compelling Life. Basically, this book is about how to live life more simply. Brenda shares some of her journey and practical tips from her book to answer that how for us today, so we can practically model and teach this to our kids. Before heading out, please be sure to check our show notes at Bible2School.com. That's Bible, the number 2School.com. This is where you'll find the resources mentioned today, including the links to access Brenda's book, blog, and podcast. Also, friends, please don't forget to rate and review our show on your favorite podcast channel. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram and share each episode with your friends. Lastly, if our podcast has impacted you, please consider joining our podcast impact team to keep this podcast on air. You can learn more about this under the resources tab of our website. Are you ready to hear how to model an uncomplicated life? Join my conversation with Brenda now. Well, hi, Brenda. Welcome back to the You Can Tell the Children podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
So last time you were here, you talked to Corey about how to launch our kids without losing our minds. And this was based off of your book, Fledge. So that was super awesome. This time, we're excited to glean from your practical advice on how we can all live more peaceful lives. So just tell us a brief synopsis of your new book called Uncomplicated, if you would.
Sure. Uncomplicated: Simple Secrets for a Compelling Life includes 10 timeless virtues that we have kind of forgotten about as a culture, but that were very prevalent in our grandparents' generation or still prevalent in my own community. I live in an Amish Mennonite farming community, and they are really some virtues, mindsets, and behaviors that used to be embedded in our lives that are no longer embedded, but we still need them. And people just need them modeled. They need them brought in front of them again to know how to walk these things out.
Well, that's really perfect timing, considering we're just, wow, I can't believe I'm saying 4 years post-COVID, but it's been four, really in a world with more mental health concerns than ever. And where busyness, really, it's almost something that we label as a success, the more busier we are. So here you come with a teaching on living a simpler life. What did compel you to write this book? Give us a little more on that, if you would.
Well, I think one of it was my experiences in the counseling office. So as a licensed mental health counselor, I started realizing a few years ago that people really were not actively using kind of basic common sense and some of the basic problem-solving practical skills that used to be just part of our innate nature. And then when COVID hit, people started coming to my community. Again, we have this Amish Mennonite community, and people started coming and saying, "You guys have something here that we long for, and I don't know how to get it." And there really were some of these practical experiences that I had, especially during the pandemic, when I would think kind of the world is out of control. And what is this chaos that's happening around us? And I would see my Amish neighbors go by in their horse and buggy and realizing that, oh, you know, when we see practical problem solving in front of us, then it gives us the model to say, I don't know how to do this, but I have the capacity to know how to do this. So it kind of was a culmination of several touch points that I was pondering about for a few years. And then when one of our Airbnb guests left our house and they said, "You are really rich," I realized that perhaps the lifestyle that I've experienced as a farm wife, as a therapist, as someone who really practices practical skills kind of on a day in and day out basis. Maybe there's something really here that is ripe in our culture right now that we need to be reminded of. It's not that I have something special that no one else has, or that you have to live in the Amish community to have a simple life. It's just that we have forgotten and we don't see modeled in front of us these things that our grandparents did all the time.
That's really good. Now, just for clarification, you are not Amish. You just happen to live surrounding Amish. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I'm not Amish. I do attend a Mennonite church. So we live in a very large community where about half the population is Amish.
Okay. That makes sense. Was that surprising to you when that person said, "Wow, you're rich"? Did you know what she meant?
I did. I think because, again, in recent years, I think I've seen that our systems still work. I think that pandemic really highlighted that for me. I often thought in my mind, everyone seems to be so out of sorts, but there's something here that we have, like things still went on. And, you know, living on a farm, we still planted that spring like we always have generations before. So even though there was a shutdown, my brother-in-law still got out the tractor in April and started sowing seeds in the ground. And there's something about being among nature, even if you go to your county park or even if you go to your city park, where you see nature that is cyclical every day, every year, every season. And we've become so removed from the natural life that we don't look to God's natural creation in nature, in humanity, in our relationship with Him for our daily, really for our daily sustenance and for our problem solving.
Yeah, wow. We really have come very far from that, just as the way the world has naturally seemed to course. But that's really an interesting perspective, especially considering COVID. So give me some more of these secrets to living a grounded, purposeful life amidst the busyness and chaos we've kind of created and have surrounding us.
Yeah. So the good news is you don't have to go out and buy a 40-acre plot, or you don't have to go grow a garden. These really are virtues. Mindsets and behaviors that are lived out. What we believe is what we think is what we do. So a few of the, there are 10, and they actually coincide with some of the World Health Organization life skills for any culture. Some of them include contentment, prudence, fidelity, interdependence, stewardship, equanimity, and foresight, which are big words for being patient and calm and have self-control. It's really equanimity and foresight really are this calm, even-mindedness in challenging situations. And that's probably the one virtue that I started thinking about a few years ago that we were not practicing. And that when I was with clients in the counseling office, or when I'd be speaking different places, there was a sense that people just didn't know how to persevere and handle things with kind of a resilience and a resolution that really is part of our human behavior. We're really the first generation who hasn't been able to lean into how God has naturally created us and what our brain is actually designed to do. And then a couple of the last ones are groundedness in humility, and then foresight, which I kind of fold heritage and legacy into that, because it's really about that foresight of looking to the future and thinking about, what are my values? How is what I value for my legacy and my heritage when I'm gone? How does that influence my priorities and my daily choices in the moment?
That's really good. And what I hear in that too is a lot of forward thinking, which is, you know, good to have goals and good for the here and now, but also actually impacting the generations to come, which is how we don't get stuck in the spot that we kind of see ourselves in, so far away from the way God intended it. And I love that, because at Bible School, that's all we're doing is we're trying to teach the next generation to teach the next generation. So tell us, how, with those 10 virtues, do you suggest we can teach this to our kids?
I think being aware of them. So I think part of it is that, you know, part of that prudence is that kind of a pause to say, if I do this, then what's the result? And I think that's part of our mindset that we really have lost in today's generation, because everything is so here and now. Everything is about the next second. Everything is about throwaway culture. And really, God has designed our brain to give us red flags to be able to say, hey, wait a minute, maybe we should stop and pause and think about what's going to happen if we do that. So I think really the most practical thing is just be aware of these skills. And so hopefully this book will help the readers do that is to say, wow, out of these, I practice this pretty well, but these other things, I used to do that, or mom and dad used to do that, but I've become so overcome with my own anxiety or my own busyness or feeling so tied to my phone or the fear of missing out that I want to live a little bit more intentionally. And I want to really live out these virtues that are really embedded in my heart that I don't see in the culture so much. But now I have encouragement in these practical ways of living out. The other thing too is that in every chapter, I have a reflection question of who in your life emulates this virtue and what about them is something you want to model. And then really encouraging all of us of how important our own spheres of influence are. Because we tend to think that what we do is not important when really every sphere of influence that we're in, we impact others. We impact our family. We impact our workplace. We impact our schools. And we have lost the importance of our ordinary values being lived out. And just coming from being a counselor who works in public schools, I can honestly tell you that when anyone sees like integrity and wisdom and this calm presence lived out, it is just like a magnet because we don't see it in our culture, but it's how God created us to live. And I think it's one of the greatest evangelistic tools we have as Christians is to live in a way that is life-giving to others, but not in these extravagant ways by making a viral post, but it's really about being that authentic, wise person in the life of someone else.
What an amazing way to go back to the basics, to be the salt of the earth and a city on a hill.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I so often hear people say, why would I want to be a Christian? They're no different than the world. But this is a call to that, right? To be that difference.
Right.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I wonder, do you use these virtues? I bet you do just without even thinking of it in your counseling setting with the kids at school.
I do. In fact, there's one. So when you asked about what kind of prompted me to write this book, there's a principle that I've used in a counseling office for years. And this principle that as a dairy farmer's wife, one of the most practical skills I learned was that cows have to be milked twice a day, every day. And the reason that I use that in the counseling office is an example of problem solving, an example of hope that no matter what your situation is, you have to figure it out. Like you have to figure a way out of the problem. You have to figure out what the obstacle is and how to get around the obstacle. And a few years ago, when we were dairy farming, one of our neighbors, their milking parlor had a tornado that went through and they had to milk the cows. And we figured out with our setup, how to bring 100 other cows over to our barn, how to milk two sets of, 150 cows over here and 100 cows there in the same facility, but how to keep them separate, how to keep the milk storage separate. Everything it was actually a huge feat, but we had to figure that out within hours because you can't not milk cows. I mean, like cows have to be milked twice a day, every day. It doesn't matter if it's a holiday. It doesn't matter if you're sick. It doesn't matter if you don't feel like it, you have to get out and do it. And so that became the chapter on resourcefulness, which is really just creative problem solving. And we all have that need. We all have to know how to creatively problem solve whatever problem is right in front of us. And I think it's just a practical strategy that helped our mental health in years past because we were actively doing it because life was just innately more hard. And with our mental health crisis today, we really lost this skill to be able to say, yes, this is difficult and this is how I feel, but I'm going to do the next thing and it's going to work its way out.
Yeah, that's really good too, because it's this reminder that we can do hard things. We don't have to give up. And of course, you can do it in the Lord's strength, even when you feel like you don't have the strength. So yeah, those are really powerful, enabling things to remember. Can you pinpoint any other times in your own life? I love that example with the cows, where you had to live out one of these virtues or mindsets that really affected you in a positive way.
One that came to mind, which was in the book, was one day several years ago, we woke up, our four-wheeler was stolen from underneath our overhang in our barn. And when we realized it was stolen, my husband was at the kitchen sink and the boys were at the table. And, he saw it wasn't there and he asked the boys, did you use it last night? Like, did you park it someplace different? And when we realized it was stolen, it was kind of like this awkward silence in the middle of the kitchen. And everyone kind of looked at my husband, and he said, you know, it must have been stolen. There's not much we can do about it. He called the police and we went on with our day. And that was really impactful to me, because I think on a farm, you're used to facing problems that are out of your control. And you just have to say, well, you know, he called the police, we did a report, and we went on. But something actually very current is that this, when this book came out, there has been a huge distribution problem initially with Amazon. And so here we had this whole book launch. And by the end of my book launch day, Amazon had removed the buy button. So here I had all these people we'd been, you know, promoting all day long, and people didn't have access to it at the typical place where they would shop. And I had to go back, and, you know, a few people said, who were praying for me, said, gosh, God's really asking you to live out what you just wrote about. And one of the principles in the book is we can only be in control of what we have control of. And I didn't have control of Amazon, and I didn't have control over the distribution problems. I could only have control over my own reaction and over the places I knew people could get it and pointed them there, and really then going to prayer. And I think that's part of it, is that sometimes we know we're supposed to pray, we know we're supposed to do this, but we don't see others practically walk it out. And I had to actually go back and read the chapters in the book that had to do with this whole concept of letting go of what we can't control, which is what I teach my elementary students, and having to live that out.
That's really good. Yeah, so good. Of course, God was going to test you in that right at that time.
Yeah, it's been a journey, that's for sure. So hopefully by the time this airs, all of those bugs will be worked out. You can get it. It is available. It's just not, again, that instant, I'm going to order it today and it's going to come tomorrow. We actually had to, you know, we actually have to wait and wait a few days, or wait a couple weeks, or wait knowing it's going to come, but we don't know for sure when it's going to come.
Let's pause right now and take a question from one of our Bible to School kids.
If Jesus could do all those miracles, then why didn't he get himself down off the cross when they nailed him there?
Did you know that there are over 300 prophecies in the Bible relating to the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus? And he fulfilled all of them. Yes, Jesus could have gotten down from that cross, but then the prophecies would have been left unfulfilled, and everything written in the Bible suspect to being true. We can know the Bible is true because Jesus did exactly what he said he would do, even to the point of dying on the cross for our sins and then rising from the dead on the third day, so you and I could have eternal life with him someday.
So what scriptures can you share? I mean, I can hear it all throughout, but do you have specific scriptures you can share related to this idea of living that more simple life?
Yeah, I think the one I'm going to just highlight. So first, I want to say that every chapter has a whole scripture application section, but the one that I'm going to go to really is my life verse. And it is 1 Corinthians 10:23, which is everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. And I have actually used that in public schools when I was a teacher. I didn't tell them where it came from. I just said, here's a life lesson. Everything is permissible. You can really do anything you want, but not everything is beneficial. And it's really giving an example of that prudent pause of saying, you can do this, but what is the cost going to be? Let's think this through a little bit. Is it beneficial? Does this help us to do this, or is it going to hurt? And that verse helped me overcome an eating disorder when I was a young adult. It's helped me overcome other type of addictive behaviors that as a young 20 and 30, I really had to work out of my system. But it also just helps me in, you know, practical things like driving down the road. You're in a hurry and you want to go faster than what you should, and you can, but is it really beneficial?
Yeah, that's really good. Great advice. So in your book, I remember you saying you give specific examples of women with compelling lives that you in particular admire. Would you just take a moment to share one of them with us?
Sure. One of them is a high school classmate who I've seen walk through a lot of adversity and loss. Loss of siblings, loss of tragic accident that happened to her dad when she was young. She lost two brothers when she was young. I've seen her lose her best friend to cancer, and then her husband died of ALS just within the last couple of years. And I have really seen her live out this equanimity of this calm, even-mindedness. She has a practical faith. She doesn't whitewash things. She doesn't stay stuck. She is someone who you can look to. And I can say, if she can handle this and get up and go to work each day, and if she can continue walking forward, then that gives me strength and power. I actually interviewed her, and she gave me permission to use some of the behind the scenes. How did this really look in her life? Did a podcast with her recently. Her name is Donna. And the way that she shares about what faith in God really looks like when you're walking it out, it is something that, again, I think in past generations, we saw lived out much more often because life was hard, and we saw people just go about and deal with things with an honest faith. And I think that's the one thing from my more simple community of Amish and more conservative, I think, farming community, is that I see people walk through adversity and their faith isn't shaken. It's not a lofty faith. It's not one that they, you know, share. It's not a health and a wealth type of gospel. It's really this authentic faith of saying, God's going to get me through the next day, and God's going to get me through the next day.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds so wonderful, but it, a little bit, if I'm honest, sounds hard. How do you get there? And how do we teach our children to get there? Do you have any advice?
Yeah. The first thing is, don't overthink it. I think that's part of it, is that it's just living it out. It's really saying, I'm just going to do the next thing in front of me. And I think part of it is removing ourselves a little bit from social media and kind of fighting for humanity. I think the more that we are inundated with information, and the more we engage with more online virtual reality, AI, we lose our humanity. We lose the processes that God has created us as humans. And the good news is, the more we use our brain, the more we develop different brain pathways, then the stronger and the easier things become. So I would really encourage anyone to really have this visual image of being in the middle lane. And I use this analogy in the book, kind of this middle lane kind of lifestyle. It's not that you have to give up things. We're not going to either end. You're not going to the slow lane. You're not going to the fast lane. You're just being this ordinary person in the middle lane who still has one foot over here. You still have one foot over here, but there's a steadiness and kind of a comfortable ride. When you're in the middle lane, you don't have to worry about missing your exit. You don't have to worry about the guy who's going to cut you off. You're just happy, and you kind of enjoy the ride, and you're still going to get there about the same time.
Yeah, that's great. I love to have that visual. Thank you for that. So, Brenna, our listeners are moms and dads, grandparents, neighbors, and friends. We have some Sunday school teachers, lots of mentors. With that in mind, what maybe one last word of advice would you have, or encouragement, just to leave with them today?
Sure. It's the idea of folk knowledge, to kind of go back to just the basics of humanity, of don't overthink things. Like, God has created us as humans to be problem-solving, thinking people. But not thinking in a way where all we do is think. We need to start putting our hands and our feet and just say, you know what? I don't have to have everything figured out. I'm just going to jump in. And God has designed me with a skill set, with life experiences that are very unique to me. And He's going to help me figure the situation out. He's going to help me do the next thing. And just something real practical. Things aren't perfect. Like today, I was sharing with you ahead of time. Today, I'm recording this in my son's apartment, watching he and his wife's little one-year-old. I had a commitment today to do this podcast. They asked me if I could babysit while my daughter-in-law worked. And one of my priorities is I want to be available for my kids. So you know what? It's not ideal. It's not perfect, but this is real life. This is real life of how we walk it out.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a little disappointed. I thought we might be able to say hi to the one-year-old, but it didn't happen.
Well, I'm very grateful because God answered my prayer. He laid down for his nap literally just minutes before this came on. So I was like, well, this is going to work out, but it's got to work out with not a guarantee that it's going to turn out the way that I would hope.
I love that. You know, Corey Pennypacker is the CEO of Bible to School. And she always says this one phrase that kind of reminds me of, especially in the beginning when you were talking about control or like things out of our control. And when we can realize that, it's a really good thing. And she says, just bless and release it. Just bless and release it. So I love that you blessed and released nap time. And it all worked out.
Yeah.
Oh, Brenna, thank you so much for sharing a little bit of your book. Tell us again. I know you said Amazon maybe, but what's the best way to connect with you? And then I'd love it if you could close our time in prayer.
Sure. They can connect with me at brendayoder.com. I'm also on Instagram at Brenda Yoder Speaks and Facebook at Brenda Yoder Speaker. And I also have the Life Beyond the Picket Fence podcast and Midlife Moms podcast. And it will be available wherever you like to buy your books. So I'm just going to say it that and people will find it. And I'd be glad to close this in prayer.
All right.
Father, thank you so much just for creating us to be compelling people that draw others to you, and that you've created us as humans to not be complicated. You have given us everything we need, and you've given every listener with a life experience that is uniquely theirs that you desire to use for your honor and for your glory. So help us not to be sidetracked by everything that the world tells us. Help us to be able to kind of just pause a little bit more in our day, to spend more mindful time with you, to not be afraid to take risks in ways that we aren't sure what the outcome is going to be, but just to be willing to jump in and do the work in our families and our communities in your kingdom that will further the gospel and also give hope and a future to not only our children and grandchildren, but those around us. We ask that you would bless this ministry and bless everyone who is listening in the spheres of influence where you've placed them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. I love how Brenda mentioned that integrity, wisdom, and a calm presence lived out is like a magnet. It's really how God created us to live. Do you find yourself wishing your life were less complicated? I know there are days I certainly do, and I bet my kids would agree as well. We would love to hear your thoughts. Each week, we create two social media posts related to our current podcast episode. So check them out and be sure to engage with us there. Other listeners will be so glad that you shared what's happening in your circle of influence. Don't forget to join us in our mission of sharing Jesus with public school children during their day. You can do this by volunteering your time, resources, or committing to pray. There's so many ways to get involved in the Bible to School ministry. Contact us to learn more at BibleToSchool.com. Thanks so much for spending time with us today, and we will see you back here next week to learn more ways that you can tell the children in your life about Jesus.